Hello, everyone. It's Helen Pinkett from Inspired Souls podcast, and I'm back with a new episode. Today, our episode is called Money Talks, and I'm going to be having a conversation with the lovely Rachel Jensen about all things money. So we had a little conversation a moment ago, and I said, Rachel, what should I introduce you as? And Rachel said, well, I do lots of things. I said, well, I'm just going to let you do all of that. So a big welcome to you, Rachel. It's lovely to have you on the show today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm really good. I'm very excited to be here and speaking today with you.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's brilliant to have you here finally, because we have been trying to get this date secured. For various reasons, we've had to move it around a little bit. So I'm really, really excited. So be talking to you about money because, wow, it's a big thing, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely. It affects everybody. As much as we don't like to admit it, money affects every aspect of our lives. You know, yes. Even if we, you know, want to lose weight, we need to buy some trainers maybe, or go to the gym, or, you know, so as much as we may not want to focus on money, it does affect every aspect of our lives. So it is a really important topic.
Absolutely. And a lot of people don't like talking about money. It's still a bit of a taboo subject, isn't it? It's like, oh, we don't want to talk about how much we earn or how much things cost or what we can afford, or if someone's got a lot of money, it's like that general, we don't like rich people, or there's so much money stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a taboo subject. And This is part of the reason I got into finance in the first place, because, You know, this day and age, we should be able to talk about money, and We don't feel we can. And we don't, as women in particular, we don't know who to turn to when it comes to money conversations, because, You know, I remember, you know, a couple of years ago, I remember talking to a friend, and I was in the corporate world at the time, and I was getting a redundancy payout. And I remember, didn't intentionally mean to, but I said the amount.
Yeah.
And I have never seen someone trigger so much in my life.
Really? Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah.
Immediately, I apologized. And I realized, Oh, I'm apologizing, am I, for talking about money now? You know, and I really recognized that. And you know, how much this is in all aspects of our lives that we tend to, as women in particular, you know, maybe talk to our partners because they're the people that are meant to know about money. Sometimes we're not even comfortable talking to our family, you know, because That can trigger a whole load of emotions. Completely. So we don't know where to turn to. And if you think back generationally, you know, it wasn't until the 1970s that a woman could open a bank account in her own name.
That's crazy. That's not that long ago, really.
Not long ago at all. Because it was felt we wouldn't know what we were doing with money. And, you know, you think about all the emotions that come from the generations, you know, the war mentality where there was never enough, and, you know, the, you know, women at home cooking and the men going out to work. And it's no surprise that as women, we don't feel confident And educated when it comes to money. Sure. But actually, interestingly, there was a survey done recently where in the survey, they tested men and women. And in one of the surveys, they had a radio button that said maybe. So they were asking financial questions. And When there was a maybe button, women performed, you know, maybe 50% of the questions right, and the rest they clicked maybe. Men were quite high up in the answers.
Right.
When they removed that maybe button, women got 100%.
Wow.
Now, that tells you we know the answer. Yes. We just don't think we do, and we don't have the confidence.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, that's so interesting. Wow. Amazing. We're going to have a great chat here today, Rachel. We just jumped straight in there. So tell us, what do you do now? And also, start by telling us your journey. So how did you get into doing what you do? And what is it that you do? now?
Yes. So I have been in the financial service industry for over 20 years. So my whole career has been in finance, straight out of university. And I have worked in the corporate world and also, you know, being self-employed as an entrepreneur. So I've got lots of experience in the financial world. Yeah. But the thing that made me leave corporate and go self-employed as a financial advisor, because I'm a financial advisor and I'm a financial certified financial coach. So I do the mindset stuff and the practical side of money. But my first step was to become a financial advisor and retrain and take all of the exams. And the reason I did that is I'm really passionate about helping women in particular become more financially independent and financially free.
Yeah.
Because of a lot of the reasons we've just sort of touched upon. But also, you know, money should be fun and exciting, not heavy and scary and bringing up all these emotions. Yeah. Money should be what, you know, the way we achieve our dreams and aspirations. Yeah. It's just a thing. Yeah. But as women, we are thrown such a unique set of circumstances in our lives. So, you know, when we start work, there's a gender pay gap. Mm. We start work on lower income.
Yeah.
Generally, I know things are changing and that gap is getting smaller. So we're moving in the right direction, but it's still there.
Yes. Yeah.
Then, you know, we're the ones that tend to have the family, raise the family. Mm. And if we go back to work, we go back part time.
Yes.
So again, we have less money, less opportunity to do things with our money. And then if we go back part time and we're earning less, we tend to leave the finances to the person that's earning the most money in a household.
Yeah.
And even if we don't manage the money together. One person tends to manage the money.
Yeah.
Then around 40, you know, around 40s, divorce becomes, you know, quite prevalent. It's 42% of marriages end in divorce. And when you look at the average divorcee, a woman who's getting divorced has a pension of around £9,000 compared to a divorced man who has £30,000 in pension.
Wow, there's a big gap there.
And that is because we don't earn as much. You know, we're out of work all the time. The menopause, you know, 10% of women have to give up work because of the menopause.
Wow, I didn't realise that.
Yeah, so a lot of women, all we struggle through and, you know, and get exhausted. And then we have, you know, we're in the sandwich generation, you know, we have elderly parents and we might have grandchildren. So again, we work less hours and we live longer. So we live a lot longer, so we need more money and we need our money to work harder for us.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the average age of a widow is about 75. For a female. So, you know, quite likely at some point in our lives, we are going to have to manage the finances. And what we don't want to be doing is doing that in a state of trauma. You know, after we've gone through a divorce or we lost a loved one, because we'll be emotionally flooded and we will not make rational decisions.
Yeah,
so for me, this is why I'm so passionate about what I do, because I just really want to change the financial landscape, particularly for women. I want to close the gender investment gap. Like, women aren't investors. Mm. We tend to save in cash if we save at all. We're not comfortable generally putting it into investments. And that goes down to confidence and knowing who to approach to help us. So again, being a female financial advisor, I know I'm helping change that. And that's what makes me really passionate about what I do.
Yeah.
But what I recognize from doing the work I do as a financial advisor is money was really emotional, or is really emotional, for women.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, what I was finding is women were very comfortable if it was money they already had. So maybe an old work pension sitting there that they'd forgotten about. It didn't feel like money that they were aware of. So, you know, they were comfortable talking about that and maybe sort of me looking at that for them and investing that money. But when it came to new money, it was a completely different story.
Right.
Generally, because, you know, they either didn't have the knowledge about their finances, ingoings, outgoings, or there was emotions there, which meant they found it very hard to retain money. money, yeah. You know, money is being spent. And, you know, I had situations where I would help clients with budgeting. I hate the word budget, by the way. I don't use it. I've just used it, but it's spending plan. There's no restriction with what we do. Yeah. It's about spending your money in the way you want to spend it.
That energetically feels so much nicer, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I hate doing budget. I'm a financial advisor, you know. I want to think about what I want out of life, and I want to make sure my money is allocated to that. And I can be spontaneous. I need money to be able to be free with. And you can, you know, I have a guilt-free pot where I'm able to do that so that I can have that buy the freedom. So I can buy the shoes without any guilt. So for me, it's all about kind of changing the financial landscape. And because of the money emotions, I felt that that's why I decided to become a certified financial coach. To help with that, because bringing in wealth is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. I was helping with the strategy, but I wasn't changing the beliefs underneath, so these behaviors weren't sticking. So by being able to start off with the mindset and really get an understanding of what those beliefs are, what's causing those sabotaging behaviors, why can't you reach the behavior and the outcome and the desires that you really want to, what is stopping you? And by looking at that, we can really shift it, come up with new beliefs and new stories, and then help you then to put together a plan so that we can get your money working as hard as possible. Perfect. So that's me in a nutshell.
Yes, I love that you are combining the two. So with my kind of work, I work with people on their money blocks. So I do that on an energetic level. So I know, and also through my own experience, how money mindset and money blocks can affect how you call in money, how what you do with money. And I've worked with lots of people on their money blocks, and you can see lots of different things, and it's generational beliefs as well, ancestral stuff, because it can be old poverty beliefs. So a lot of us actually have subconscious beliefs, things that we don't even realize, like, you know, the habits of getting money, spending it straight away, not being able to hold on to it, never earning enough. It's all these, there's so many different behaviors. But what do you talk us through a couple of the beliefs that you've changed, or people that you've worked with? Is there anything that comes to mind? It's like a very typical popular belief that comes to that you find with women.
Oh my goodness, everyone is so different, and that's the point. I think first thing to mention is, with money, we all think we're the same when it comes to managing money, and that to manage money you have to have a spreadsheet or a budget, or, you know, we are all different, so we all have different beliefs. First of all, I'll share my story. So for me, you know, my parents, my mum was born in the war. And so it is very much rationing mentality. So, you know, meals used to last 3 days and then get frozen. Bread was frozen. Milk was frozen.
Yeah.
I went to their cupboard recently and there was some Parmesan cheese that in a tub. They hold on to everything, you know, that mentality.
Yeah. And,
you know, it was always a feeling that there wasn't enough. And then also, you know, with my parents, they would work really, really hard all the time. They never once sat down, you know, they were always on the go. Sitting down was lazy. You've got to work hard to make money, you know. My dad was in the military and he'd be posted abroad. He'd always be at work. Yet he never wanted to replace anything in the home. Like, everything would have to, you know, if something went out of fashion, it would stay in the home for another 20 years. You know? And even these days, when I'm throwing things out, like an old sofa, he'll say, can I have it? You know, because it's still got life in it. It's still got life left.
Everything that you've just said there, I can completely relate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And
definitely, you know, a generational.
It's definitely a generational. You know, it's wartime mentality. It comes from their parents. It comes down the line. And for me, you know, that the sayings also that you hear when you're growing up, you know, money doesn't grow on trees.
I know.
Wait, not want not. Can you remember those?
Oh yeah, completely. Some money is the root of all evil, and yeah, money makes people bad, rich people greedy. There's so many
about that, and think about how that makes us feel. And even the movies we watched as children, you know, you may have been watching Disney movies, which is about the princess being saved by the man and being swept off her feet, and think about how that's influenced us, because our brains, you know, aren't basically, most of our money beliefs are formed before we're 7 years old. And the reason being is our reasoning brains, and you'll know this, Helen, aren't formed at that age. So whatever we see, we take as fact.
Yes.
So whatever, so really what we're doing is mirroring our parents' relationship with money.
Yeah.
So if we saw our parents argue about money, our brains as a child would have formed that in really simple terms, that money is bad. So then every time you try and have a money conversation, maybe with your partner, you're that sort of 6 year old stood in front of your parents arguing, and all of that emotion comes up, but you're not realizing it's in your subconscious, and you're not realizing that emotion is coming from your 6 year old self observing your parents argue about money.
It's
really getting awareness of that. So for me, you know, when I started my journey on finances, it was, you know, my dad managed the money. My mum never bought anything for herself. She would have to put a business case in, literally, if she wanted to spend money.
And then
she'd bring something home all excited, a new dress, and my dad would be like, well, that's, how much was that? That looks horrendous. It's not value for money, you know. And it was
absolutely
grief. And I realized, actually, you know, my background is I find it quite hard to spend money.
Right.
And, you know, and that comes from that upbringing where I was making money my safety, you know. So there isn't enough to go around, and you've got to work hard to make money.
Yeah.
And money is your safety net, you know. So for me to part with money, it was meaning I'm unsafe.
Right. That's
the way I had been brought up.
Yeah.
And generally with my clients, what I recognize is with money beliefs, they affect three things. And usually it's one over the other, but it could be all three.
Mm.
It affects how you feel when you receive money. So that means whether someone gives you money or you're charging. When you want to charge to get money.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Mm. Have you got a comfort zone when you charge? You know, is it that you're fine if it's under £1,000, but if it's over £1,000, it makes you sweat?
That ceiling of like.
Yeah, what is the ceiling? And is it bothering you? You know, or is it that you have emotion when you retain money? Do you have difficulty retaining money? Because we tend to have an income cap, you know, we have a subconscious income cap that we're comfortable with, and if we earn over that money disappears.
Yes.
And it can disappear because the washing machine breaks, the car tire goes, you know, you're feeling lack and you just want to spend.
Get rid of it quick.
Again, there'd be a comfort zone with that, you know. Is it that you're comfortable retaining £50, but anything over that has to go? Because that's what I see a lot of, is actually retaining money, you know, as women and as a generation, actually, across the board, we want the instant gratification. We want the dopamine hit of being able to spend. And sometimes it can be because of this income cap. And then also recognizing the people around us. What are they earning? You know, what did your family earn? Where's your comfort zone in that?
Yeah.
And your comfort zone in retaining a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And then the other one is giving money, so spending money. So this is the one I find difficult. So, you know, do you find it difficult to part with money? Is money your safety? Is there a certain amount? So for me, you know, I'm comfortable if it's under £1,000. Anything over that, come out in a sweat.
Yeah.
But I've worked on it. Yeah. Yeah, I've worked on it. I'm aware of it. And, you know, that's every time amazing. I grow, there's a new level that I'm comfortable spending.
Yeah.
And we all have this, you know, and there's no shame in admitting this, but it all goes back to our beliefs.
Yes.
So really getting clear on, you know, which one you feel most emotional around will really help you understand the story behind it and why it is, you know. So for me, the spending, I delved in, why is it? Well, because my dad didn't like spending money. It was wrong. It was wasteful, you know, and that's where that comes from. And that isn't a belief I want to hang on to. So, you know, it's about transforming that at that point. But generally, that's where my clients fit in as well, is around those three areas. There's usually one of them that's more emotional than the other.
They all make a lot of sense to me. I can recognize a bit of myself in all of them. I've been on such a money journey myself over the years, and I think definitely you have your own business, you have to address this stuff, because if you're undercharging and over giving, it's going to affect your whole business, you know, all of those things. So money mindset is a huge
absolutely
thing for everybody, but definitely business owners.
And also, we all know that we have like trauma responses, like fight, flight and freeze. But there is actually an extra one. I don't know whether you've heard of it, called fawning.
No, I haven't actually.
Yeah, so fawning is actually people pleasing. So when you feel threatened and you're outside your comfort zone, fawning is where you will do anything to make that other person feel okay. You know, it may be that you don't want conflict. So this can come up if you're charging a client and then they, you know, challenge you on your charging. If you go outside of your comfort zone and go into a bit of a trauma response and go into fawning, you will just drop your prices because you just want to get out of there and be safe. So it's recognizing if you're in that moment and actually, you know, ground, take a breath, do whatever you know you need to change that situation.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that completely makes sense. I'm sure I've done that before in the past as well.
I think you have.
What a journey. And it's, you know, we don't think about money when we're younger so much. I think as we get a little bit older and we start having to make decisions about finances or we need to make bigger purchases, and then realizing that these beliefs are coming up, like, why am I acting like that? Why am I not earning X amount per month? And it's so interesting, and you know, to talk about it is brilliant, to bring up the awareness of it. Becoming aware of your own beliefs and actions is so important as well, I believe, because then we can transform them. Being aware of them is the biggest step, I believe.
And I think, you know, the work I do is very much about sort of the first step is kind of going back, because sometimes it's hard to know what the emotions are because you've been in that cycle for so long. It's just become a bit of a norm, and just you know,
you need someone to come and pull it out and go, why do you believe that? Why, you know, to look at it for you, definitely.
So you know, going back and thinking about what your parents' relationship with money was like and how that might be influencing you, and you know, what is the belief behind that? You know, so for me, you know, it was my dad went to work all the time. We hardly had any money. Well, we had money, but he didn't like spending money.
Yeah.
So the belief is, you know, you've got to work really hard to make hardly any money.
Yeah.
So it's understanding that. And actually, is that true? Is that belief true? And if it is, what percentage do you reckon that's true? And what's the evidence against that? You know, what evidence have you got to say that isn't true? And actually, you know, how is that helping you? Because for me, that was keeping me safe. That was my safety net. And how is it challenging you? You know, I wasn't moving forward. I was kind of stuck in behaviors that I didn't want to be doing. So, you know, it's about what is the new belief that you could have? But just like you said, just really getting curious in the moment as well. Why am I feeling like this right now? Why am I reacting? If you're having money conversations with a partner and it always ends in an argument, why is that?
Yeah.
You know, because you're going into a trauma response and you're doing fight, flight or freeze, and there'd be a reason you're doing that. And you can't be logical when you're in that state.
Yeah.
So it's really getting to grips with actually what is the belief under there.
Yeah, so interesting. And I found the more work that I've done on my money mindset, the more I can spot it in others now.
Absolutely.
I'm like, oh, that's a mindset thing. And particularly as we've been talking about parents, both of my mum and dad, they're both exactly the same. If I've got something new, they will not go, oh, that's nice. The first thing they will say was, how much was that? Every single time. It's nothing to do with the item. It will be, how much was it? I didn't think you could afford it. Didn't think you had any money. Every single, and it makes me laugh because I know. And then if it's something that they consider more expensive, you'd be told off because it would be too expensive. So that's really, really interesting. It always makes me laugh now because I just know. They'll say, I don't say anything now. I don't tell them. Sorry, mum and dad, if you're listening.
I think our parents should meet. I think they get along. I feel that too. I have exactly the same. And it's, it's not wrong. That's how they were brought up. And that's their belief, is that money, you know, money is hard to get and money doesn't grow on trees. And, you know, going out and buying what you want is wasteful. You know, that's not what people do.
Yeah, we shouldn't be spending that much money. But ultimately, so I live a very spiritual life and money is energy.
Yes.
So when I changed my mindset to that belief, things started to flow a lot more easy because like everything, it's just an energy. So it's a piece of paper, a £20 note, which carries the frequency of money. So we are just exchanging energy all the time. Just like we're exchanging our words, we're exchanging energy. It's exactly the same.
Absolutely. And I always say to people, you know, imagine money was your best friend. You know, how are you treating it?
Yes.
Do you love it? Do you hate it? Do you want to spend time with it? Do you want it just to go away?
Yeah.
You know, and think of it as it's a thing, because it puts it as, you know, puts it as a sort of third person, and you can actually really then see how you're treating money and what the emotions are. Because like you say, it is energy, it's neutral.
Yeah.
You know, we're adding the emotion to it.
Completely, absolutely. Yeah. And the more you love it, the more it's going to be attracted to you and the more that you're going to call in. Because when you're like, oh God, oh, I've never got any money, I hate it, I'm always, you know, oh, money, money, money. You know, we're going to be repelling it, not calling it back in.
Absolutely.
But if we're in love with it and we're treating it beautifully and we've got a nice purse and we're keeping all of our purse nice and uncluttered and beautiful, then it's going to want to come into us.
Yes,
so I love working on that vision of, you know, on that truth, shall we say, of it being energy. And the more you're open to receiving, loving it, the more,
also, I suppose in that respect, it's also thinking about, you know, money's energy, but also, you know, if you put all your focus into money, it won't, you will block it. You know, it's putting the focus into the energy that you want to feel.
Absolutely.
What gives you joy and happiness.
Yeah.
And where you increase that energy, energy comes to you, which is money and space and whatever else, you know. So, you know, I do say to clients sometimes, like, you know, sometimes we can find money doesn't come in because we're so focused on it.
Yes.
Everything becomes about the money.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in business, if we focus on the impact that we're having for people rather than how much money we're going to make, then we are going to be more successful in our business, because that's where the focus is, in uplifting and upleveling and joy and happiness and service.
Yeah,
and the because rest just flows.
There's lots of work around kind of redefining success as well, because as a society, I mean, you know, success is about having money, isn't it? I mean, we're told that daily on telly and adverts. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about having money, but actually, you know, that's disempowering us, because it's, if we're constantly thinking that we to be successful, we have to have money, then we're focusing on the money, which then blocks the money, which then makes us feel negative, and then we have the negative energy. So, you know, it's very much about reframing success where you can actually feel successful every day, you know, and being really clear on how you're defining success. And is there an income level that you're thinking, well, when I get that, I'm successful?
Yes. Yeah. That old chestnut.
Yeah. And I suppose the other point is we all think our lives are going to be amazing when we bring more money in. It's like everything will sort out when I get this much money.
Yeah.
But actually, money just magnifies your beliefs and your issues, you know. Yeah. So quite often, the more money you've got, the more issues and worries you've got. So
it's a different level.
That's why this work is so important, because you know, if you look at anybody that's wealthy, they really understand their mindset, but they really understand the practical side as well. They will know what their ingoings and outgoings are as a family, as a business. They will know the ins and outs. Yeah. And if you want to bring in wealth, that is the first step. That's non-negotiable. You need to know that. And as much as, you know, it might be something you don't want to do, that's what you need to do. And that's why this mindset work is so important, because if you're finding it something you want to avoid, there's a reason behind that. And you know, we can fix that through looking at what is actually going on underneath. What are the beliefs that are blocking you and stopping you?
Yeah, absolutely. So interesting. This whole conversation has just reminded me of all the of all the things I need to go back and carry on and learning. It's just a real continual journey, because you just kind of resolve one thing and then it's like, oh, and now that's popped up, and it's it keeps going. It's so interesting. So Rachel, tell us, how can we find you? How can people work with you? I'll pop all of the all of your details in the show comments as well.
Thank you.
And find you, but if you want to give yourself a plug, now's your chance.
Oh, thank you. Well, I run two businesses. I mean, the financial advice side, or the money coach side, but to be honest, you can find me with both through one email, so just come to me. So my web address is www.racheljensenmoney.co.uk. all my contact details are on there. But I can help you, just so you're clear how I can help you, you know, on the financial advice side. Let's be absolutely clear, you do not have to be wealthy to see a financial advisor. You know, you can have a chat with me. There's no charges for a chat. So if you've got anything money wise you want to have a chat about, then please, you know, don't be scared to come and talk to me. That's what I'm passionate about. That's what I love doing. So if you want to sort of really get to grips with the practical side, you know, I do the financial advice side. And that may be, you know, you've got old work pensions sitting there that aren't doing anything. You haven't thought about retirement. You haven't thought any long term. I can just have a chat with you to start sort of cementing some of that vision. You know, what do you want to achieve in life? Where do you want to go? What are you passionate about? And that's kind of what I do through there. And then the money coaching side, again, I do one-to-one coaching. I've got a new group program launching in September. And I also do like VIP days. So again, you can work with me in various different ways. But yeah, if you just go to the website, you'll see all of my details there.
Excellent. Thank you so much. What a brilliant chat we've had this morning. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. Before we sign off, is there any words of wisdom, any tips or advice that you'd like to leave with our Inspired Souls audience today?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of tips. So the first one is kind of what we've covered already, like get really, really curious about your money emotions. So, and do it in the moment, you know. If you're stuck in patterns where you're in debt cycles, or you find yourself sort of spending money and then afterwards regretting it, or, you know, you find having money conversations with your partner really difficult, get really curious. Have a think back to, you know, before you were sort of 7 years old, what went on in the family? Did you have any trauma? You know, get really curious, and what belief might have come out of that? Then I would say get really clear on your values. You know, what do you value most in life? For me, I value sort of adventure. I like freedom, so I like lots of trips away.
Yeah, you know,
and make sure your spending is aligned to your values. because it's very easy to get sidetracked, you know, where particularly if we're in lack, we might just be spending money here and there for a bit of a dopamine hit, a feel good hit, and it's not actually where we want our money to go. And by really getting curious on that, we can reallocate that to what we really want out of life.
Yeah, perfect.
I would say get financially naked. So really do like rip off those clothes, rip off that plaster and have a look and really understand what's going on with your finances. And then don't think about budgeting as a spreadsheet, you know, think about it as a spending plan. Start really thinking about what you want out of life in the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and start thinking about the steps you're going to get there from where you are now, and allocate your funds there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a couple there. Got a whole 10 more, but I'll be on here for another hour.
That's amazing. Those are three really good places to start, I think. So thank you so much. You've been a brilliant guest. I've absolutely adored our conversation this morning.
Oh, thank
you.
Your
passion absolutely shines through, and yeah, I will definitely put all your details up, and I'd urge any ladies who need some advice to come talk to you.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, and thank you to all our Inspired Souls audience for checking in and listening to us today. I will be back again with another episode very soon. Bye.